because it's not, you don't hear that much anymore about people gathering with their family. But when they want to gather with their family, I have no problem with that. And plus two being Easter Sunday, I know that all the children and the kids are going to be out having Easter egg hunts and different things, and so won't be having a service tonight. But you pray this week, and like for all y'all to be back Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Now I want to thank the Lord for the revival that we had. I believe the what we need revival, and how we're going to receive revival unless we're here to hear the word of God that will touch our hearts. And I thank God for Brother Noel Fry that come and brought revival this past week. He come and brought the message that the Lord had laid on his heart. But we know that he can't really deliver revival to each one of us. No one can but the Father. And I thank the Lord for that. And another thing I want to let everyone know this morning, I'm not going to be coming down until after I get through. So, could I, you know, and I don't know how that's going to work this morning, because sometimes I just like to get down and walk around down there or whatever, but right now I can't do much walking. I stumble and I fall, and y'all have seen me fall down here before, and I don't want to scare nobody. I know I've been stubborn in the past. I know that. My wife has told me that many times. She says, "Boy, you just stubborn." I said, "Well, I know I'm stubborn." I said, "Well, bless, Pat, we got some more coming." But I tell you what, the Lord sometime will put you back the way you can kind of get a little of pride out of way. And this may be one of the reasons, I don't know. Hey, how y'all doing this morning? Amen. All right. Before we get started, I think what we're going to do, we're just going to go around and have a little fellowship and shake everyone's hand this morning and just let them know that glad to hear. Sister Kelly, you got to hear this now. I'm up here this morning, and I'm not coming down until I get through. And when I come down, my wife's going to help me down.
We're all going
to. And I didn't mean to scare you the other night. But I'm glad somebody else heard you, too. Oh, me. I tell you. All right, just let's go around and shake everyone's hand and just welcome to the Lord's house this morning, and the ones at the visitors. And we just thank the Lord for just being with us today.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
You know
when
I
come again, though. Glad all y'all here this morning, and y'all pray for me this morning. I'm gonna try to work two messages into one. So let's look over there in John chapter 20, I believe it is. Yeah. John chapter 20. First of all, I want to read over there in Luke chapter 2, I believe it is. Yeah. Luke chapter 2. And I don't think this word is mentioned, but it's either four or five times in the Word of God. But we're gonna look at one particular word this morning, and I hope it will help you. It sure helped me when the Lord showed me some things about it, which we can use it. We can use it at Christmas. Well, basically, we can use it any time during the year. But here in Luke chapter 2, it's speaking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And said, it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the day were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We see the word wrapped right there, where they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Then we go on down a little further into verse 11 and 12. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We see the word wrapped in swaddling clothes once again right here in verse 12. And not only that, we can go over here and this right here was the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where he came, where when Mary and Joseph, and they wasn't married. When Mary became espoused or pregnant, either one. But Joseph was nothing other but her boyfriend, basically. And this right here tells us, right here, that we must not go against God's word in anything that we do. But it says right here, and it's wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That manger was in a castall. There was no room for him at the hotel or the motor lodge or what it was at that time. There was no room for him because as soon as Joseph had stopped the donkey that they were riding, that Mary was on, he went up to the door, and as he was getting to the door of the hotel or motel or inn or whatever you want to call it, that the innkeeper of that day came forth out of the door and told Joseph that they had no room for them. They was completely booked. They had no sign that says rooms available or anything. And we see that where in verse 9 it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That's what his reason was to come, to leave the portals of glory and to come and be born of a virgin. And when the Holy Spirit, that dove, came down and landed upon Mary's shoulder, instantaneously, she became espoused. She had a child that was in her heart. And not only that she would go forth and I'm sure a little later on after this, that her and Joseph, they was married. But even that, and going up to chapter 19, that we see where in the scripture where that Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus was out walking, and they was out among themselves just going about. And here was Jesus. He was about, some say he's 12, I don't know. But he was still a young lad. But he heard a noise, and he heard some people over there discussing some things about him and about what he was doing. So as they was discussing that, then The Lord Jesus was behind Mary and Joseph. And as they kept traveling on, they traveled on, and they weren't watching the children. They wasn't watching Jesus because they knew that he was right there with them. But see, Jesus, he went maybe astray or whatever, but he went over into this synagogue where they was discussing the things of the Lord Jesus. And they were discussing many other things. They was teaching the law then. They was teaching what the Lord Jesus knew all about. So the Lord Jesus, he entered in. And when he entered in, he was not only listening to what they said, but he also gave them his comments that he would be able to come in and be able to hear what is being said. And he would teach them some things that they had never heard before. You know, there's many people out here today, and you'd be surprised at this, that has never heard the gospel. That has never heard the gospel by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. But we thank the Lord for that. Come on. Come on in. Hallelujah. All right. But and glad to be here and glad to have you.
Yes, sir.
All right. But as he was there in his synagogue and he was teaching them about some things that they had never heard before. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our lives as we go out into this world. We're supposed to live the life of a Christian. We are not supposed to live a religious life, because religion is going to take more people to hell than anything. But we must live the Christian life. We must be born again. We must be saved. And as we are saved, then we must go out here and live the Christian life before the people that we come in contact with, that they can see something different within our lives, that they can see a change in our life. And that basically what Jesus was trying to explain to them, but they didn't want to hear none of that. But now we go up, and we get up to chapter 19 of the book of John. Chapter 19 in the book of John. And it said, then came the soldiers, verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the others which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. You can go back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23. And it tells us right there. It tells us where his bones will never be broken. Yes, they went and they broke the bones of the other two malefactors there was hanging on the tree. And they died. The soldiers took their life because of what they had done and in breaking of their legs. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in one verse, the scripture says, there will no one will take up my life. No one will take my life. I freely give it up for you and for me. He freely gave up his life on Calvary's cross that day. For the whosoever will, and the whosoever, you can take that word to whosoever, and you can put your name right there. Where it says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God loves the world. For God whosoever. And people they want to learn more about him before they get saved. That's impossible. That is impossible because the verse of scripture over there in John chapter 19, I mean chapter 14 and verse 26, but the comforter who is the Holy Ghost, what did he say? I'm gonna turn back to it and I'm gonna read it because I don't want to miss one little word, because when you miss one little word in verse of scripture, it takes the whole context apart. It breaks the whole verse down. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, but the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things. And see, that comforter, that Holy Spirit, is sent to each one of us by God the Father and God the Son. And I thank God for that. I thank God that the Holy Spirit has been on the scene, and the Holy Spirit is the one convicts an individual's heart. And if you ever have a tugging on your heart, something is just maybe you think your heart is maybe going to jump out of your chest or something like that, or you get sweaty palms or a little nervousness or something like that. Don't never think it maybe, well, I'm just nervous. You may not be just nervous. It may be the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. So you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. And you need to ask the Lord. Say, Lord, is this you speaking to me this morning through the Holy Spirit? If it is, Lord, let me know what I need to do. And he will let you know. He will not only let you know, he will allow you to go on and do it, and he will lead you in doing it. Now, I know at times past, we as Christians, when someone comes forth and when they get saved in church, or they get saved out here in the world or something like that, the first thing that we say to ourselves, we don't come out and verbally say it, but if we don't go back and visit them, if we don't go back and check up on them and see how they're doing, we say, well, I won't let them defend for themselves right now. Hey, they need encouragement. They need strength for somebody else that can encourage them to keep on going. And I know I have dropped the ball on that case many a time before. But we should not drop the ball on that. We should get in there and we should just call them and say, I was just thinking about you today, just praying for you. And you'll be surprised at how much that will help them through that day. You know, when I go to the nursing home over there, I tell the ones that come out, I say, you know, when you go back to your room, there's got to be somebody that's sitting outside of their room that maybe nobody has spoken to them today but the nurse. I said, but all you have to do is just smile at them and just ask them, how you doing? The Lord loves you and I love you also. You will be surprised in how much encouragement and how much strength that will give them to fight for another day. To fight for another day. But right here in chapter 19, we see where over here in chapter 20, that where speaking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. See, they thought that somebody had robbed the grave. They thought that somebody had come in and rolled his stone away and took Jesus from that barred tomb that day, where it was barred. John, where the tomb was there for John. But see, Jesus told them, says, now, I give my life, but in 3 days I will take up my life and I will come forth once again. And it says right here, it says, Peter therefore went forth and other disciples and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together with a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciples which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the sepulchre went away. Then the disciples went away again unto their own self. Verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he might rise again from the dead. See, they have never listened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they walked with the Lord on his journey while he was on this earth. They walked with him, but they did not listen to him. They was following him. And that was one reason that right after that, when he was buried, then in a barred tomb there that day, the disciples and other individuals had went back to the upper room and they had gathered there. You know what they gathered there for? Oh, woe me. And wondering what I was going to do. They was wondering in what they was going to do next. They was wondering who was they going to follow then. They should have known all along that they need to follow the Lord. And what the Lord had taught them, but see, they didn't. But right after when the disciples were discussing all of that, after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, he went back to heaven. And when he went back to heaven, he went back and he was about ready to sit down beside the Father. And the Father says, no, son, says you can't sit down yet. Your job is not finished. Well, said Father, I said it was finished at the cross. When I was hanging there on the cross, it was finished and I gave up the ghost. What else can I do? He says, your followers are wondering now who to follow. So you've got to go back. He came back for 40 days. But when he come back, there on that first day that he came back, he went into the upper room there where the disciples were. He didn't go through no door. He didn't go up and take a doorknob and turn the doorknob and walk in. He came down and there he was. He came down and he walked right through the wall. And he manifested himself among the people there. And when they saw him, they knew something was going to happen. And it doesn't tell exactly everything that he said, but I'm sure, and knowing the Lord and what the Lord had done sometimes, I'm sure the Lord probably gave him a good lashing for not listening and just following him. Because it's the same way today. We'll come to church and we'll come and we'll listen to Sunday school teacher and we'll listen to the preaching of God's word and we'll have prayer and people will come to the altar and they say they got things right with God, but then they go out and they're out in the world all week. But they never have mentioned anything at all about the Lord. I'm not saying everybody's like it, but a majority of the people are. They never mention anything about the Lord to anybody. And we must mention something about the Lord to someone. Why? Because someone mentioned my name to the Lord. Somebody came to my house and told me about the Lord. And told me about the Savior, that if I was once come forth and just give him my heart and my life and read the book, read this Bible, he will lead you in the way that you need to go. Because I'm going to be honest with you. It's no way under this sun that I ever thought in my lifetime that I would ever be up here preaching or teaching. Because I was a nervous type individual. I mean, I quit high school when I was in the 10 and a half grade. When I went through half of the 10th grade, I quit high school because I got tired of taking home Fs. And I got tired of taking home zero and absent from school and everything. I got tired of that and taking that home and hearing the tongue lashing from my mother and my stepfather. So I quit school. I went to work. They just didn't let me lay around. They just didn't let me lay around at the house and do nothing and go out there and ride the roads and all. Because if I wanted to get in that car that I had and go anywhere, it mean I had to do some work to put the gas in it. And even back then, the gasoline won't be about 30 cents a gallon. But I had still had to work to provide for 30 cents a gallon for gasoline, to put a couple dollars of gas in my car. So as far as the whippings or the beatings that I got from my mother, my stepfather, for not going to school and bringing home else and all of that, you know, yeah, it was hurting me. Yeah, I felt the pain. But then my mother and my stepfather both there come and said, son, it don't hurt you no worse than it does me. Matter of fact, it hurts me worse than it does you. And I'd say under my breath, I wouldn't say it out loud because I knew that if I said it out loud, I'd say, shoot, man, I'll get another one. I didn't want another one. I said unto myself, I said, it ain't no way you lying. It ain't no way. But see, then after I grew up, then after I got married, and then after we had our daughter, when she hurts, I hurt. When my wife hurts, I hurt. When I hurt, they hurt. That's the way it is. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is also today. When we hurt as individuals, when we have things going on in our life that we don't see no way out. But yet we'll say, well I'm gonna, you know, I prayed this week and Lord just seemed like he's not answering my prayer, so I'm still need going to church. See, the Lord knew that you was going to say that anyhow before you even thought about saying it. He knew that you was going to say that. He hurts just as much as we hurt. And he's been through it all. He's been through every test, every trial that we go through. One thing about the Lord, if we did not have problems come our way, we wouldn't need the Lord, would we? We would not need him. If everything was going just fine, if at the end of the year, instead of us having to pay the government taxes, the government come back and give us $10,000 or $15,000. And all of that. And people are there and on our jobs, it look like every month we'll get a raise. It won't be a 5 cent raise or 3 cent raise or something like that. It'll be a dollar raise or a $2 raise. If everything was going fine, just like that, next thing we know, we'd be driving a brand new vehicle. Then when that gets a little wound, when it ties, maybe worn down a little bit, then they'll go out and trade. We wouldn't need the Lord if all of that was just right there for us. And we didn't have to worry about it. We wouldn't need the Lord. But see, we need the Lord to help us to make it from day to day. From hour to minute minute, we need the Lord. And I thank the Lord for him. But there's two words I want to mention right here. The main word, the word is here, and I'm going to close with this. It says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. See, he was wrapped in linen clothes, in white linen. He was wrapped as a mummy from the bottom of his foot to the top of his head. The only thing that they had that was not wrapped and was not covered up was his nostrils and his eyes. But the napkin that they speak right here of, the napkin is the one that they used to lay over his eyes and his nostrils. Just laying it there, you know, he could breathe. You say, well, how could he breathe if he was dead? That's the thing about it, he wasn't dead. He wasn't dead. He was just waiting for them 3 days. He was just waiting for that third day. And when that third day came forth, that Sunday morning, and when he rose from the grave, he unwrapped all that linen clothes from his body, from his head to his toes. And after he unwrapped all of that, he took it and he folded it up and he laid it down. But then he took the napkin. He took that napkin and he folded it into a way that, you know, a napkin is square. And he took that napkin and he folded it. He didn't fold it just like that, a square. No. He took it and folded it something like that. That's the way he folded it. Then it says after he folded the napkin, he placed the napkin over here by itself. Why did he do that? Well, you can go back in time, back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. You can go back farther than that. Or maybe in the 50s they done it. But I can remember one day that we went at my grandmother's and my grandmother's house, right there where I live at, right above me, and she used to live in another house over on the farm, and she was telling us this story, that she invited her pastor, to come and sit down and eat with them one Sunday. Him and his wife, they come and they sat down and they ate with them. But before he got through, he got a phone call. And he had to take a call because it was somebody that was just had gone to the hospital. And he got up and he folded his napkin, something similar to that. And he laid it over on the side.
And I says,
you know, he took his napkin and folded it, and then it laid it to the side by itself. And I looked at my grandmother. I said, Grandma, I said, what did that mean? My grandmother says, when Jesus was on the cross, and when he rose on the third day, he took the linen clothes and he folded them and he put them by itself. And he had a napkin about his face. He took the napkin and he folded it. We said, well, what did that mean? I mean, that's what the preacher just done. What did that mean? And here I was probably 10 years old. I mean, I didn't understand none of it. I still didn't understand it even after she told me. She said, well, what it means is, after the phone call, the preacher will be back and he'll finish his meeting. Woo! Hallelujah! I mean, you know, I tell you, when the Lord said it was finished at Calvary, for me and you, it was finished for them that was there. But for me and you today, it wasn't finished then. When it's going to be finally finished, it's when we're going to get on that train. When we're going to get on that heavenly flight.
Amen.
And we're going home. And somebody said, I think it was Brother Noah said something about how many miles it was from the moon to earth and everything, and how many days it would take to get here and all that. Well, guess what? I'm going further than the moon. I'm going further than the stars. And I'll tell you one thing, when I go, I'm going to get there before the moon ever shines.
Amen.
Whoo, glory to God. But we got to remember, The napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Verse 10 said, then the disciples went away unto their own home. Now, I want everyone to stand this morning and I want you to reflect upon the three thoughts that I had this morning. In the birth, where he was wrapped in swaddling clothes at birth. And then not only that, it's where that he had died and they'd hung him on the cross. And then the resurrection. You know, we need to remember things that he says right here in the Bible. And I'll tell you what, now you cannot truly understand the Word of God until after you get saved.
Amen.
It says, but the Comforter, which is, what did they say? The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. And as he teaches you, he'll teach you what this word right here says. And not only will it teach you that, when we're reading scripture and everything, and I know in the past I I'd read verses of scripture, I'd read a chapter, and I just didn't quite understand it. Then when I read over in the book of John, I got down to that verse of scripture, John chapter 14, verse 26. The latter part of 26 says, there's going to come a time, and basically, what he's saying and what we can look at, there's going to come a time when you're not going to know what to say. But if you're just listening, you have an inwardly prayer. He will bring back what you've read before in the Word of God.
That's me. I'm sorry. I thought it was Sister Betty.
No, I got nine cut off.
Well, we need to remember.
Mine was supposed to be.
About the napkin. But as he gathers the song together, and as we start singing it, I want you to think about it. Think about what is your relationship with the Lord. Is your relationship with the Lord okay? If the Lord was to come back today, could we stand in front of Him? Or would we be left behind? Because we've never asked Him to save our souls. You know, I can pray with people. I can explain what the Roman road says. But until they pray, until they ask the Lord to save their soul, that's the only way. I cannot do anything else for you. They've got to ask Him personally themselves. So as we sing,
page 235.
Page 235.